You are listening to WQED's Voice of the Arts podcast. I'm Emily Bruner, and today I'm at the Frick Art Museum, and I'm here talking with Dawn Breen, the Chief Curator and Director of Collections here at the Frick. We're going to talk about the wonderful exhibit opening tomorrow, the Vermeer, Rembrandt, and Monet exhibit, combining pieces from here in Pittsburgh and pieces from the New York Frick. So, Dawn, how did this go? How did this come about? I mean, it's been years in the making from what I've heard. How were you able to combine stuff from the New York, who I hear doesn't always lend their art very much, to here in Pittsburgh?
So actually, the Frick Collection in New York is in the midst of an expansion and a reconstruction project. So this opened a wonderful opportunity at a time when their collection would otherwise be dark and inaccessible to the public, for us to bring a selection of works here to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. I mean, it's a perfect opportunity because they're going to be in storage anyway, so why not?
Why, we are happy to take them off their hands and store them here.
Well, that's great. And how did you go about picking which pieces to present here from New York and pieces to pair from here in Pittsburgh?
That's the fun work of being a curator. In making our selections for what to bring from New York to Pittsburgh, we had a lot of conversations with their curatorial team, their then chief curator, Xavier Salomon. We had some dream selections that couldn't travel because of condition issues or were part of another project. So we worked together to make sure that we were getting a wide selection that could really tell a full story of Henry Clay Frick's collecting, as well as his daughter, Helen Clay Frick.
And how did you come about that idea of merging their two collections? Like, was it something like organic, like, oh, hey, this would be a perfect opportunity? Or was it something like, we should do this?
We have always thought of the Frick Collection in New York and the Frick Pittsburgh as kind of two chapters of the same story. Mm-hmm. And this opened this wonderful opportunity to bring our collections together, because Henry Clay Frick's collecting starts here in Pittsburgh. He's buying a lot of artwork while living in Clayton, the historic house museum on the other side of our campus. And a lot of the work that ends up in the Frick Collection in New York once hung on the walls in Clayton, but we don't have access to them. So in a way, for some of these artworks, it's a homecoming to Pittsburgh, and it allows us to tell this really fulsome story about Frick and his taste and what it was like to be a Gilded Age industrials collector.
And not only Henry, but Helen as well. And they had very different tastes in art. That's kind of interesting.
Yes, they absolutely did. Helen very kind of purposefully turned the spotlight away from herself into her father, but she had her own aesthetic ideals. She had her own preferences, which she really started to exercise as she started to build her own collection. Frick preferred landscapes, British portraiture, works by old European masters from the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries, whereas Helen had a lifelong love for Italian Renaissance devotional paintings, which was anathema to her father, who did not collect religious works or scenes.
Interesting. And when you paired them together, some pieces that were his and some that were hers, especially the first piece that you see when you walk in the exhibit, the first two, how did you decide to pick those two to go together? Because you kind of talk about how, like, one's bigger than the other and one's, you know, but, like, how did you decide? Because they're so different.
We really wanted to right away introduce this idea to visitors about the two individuals behind the collections. Mm-hmm. And we chose the Rembrandt self-portrait from 1658 and the Sassetta Virgin Mary. We chose those images because they are so evocative of the tastes and the personalities of Henry and Helen as they collected them.
Mm-hmm. And I gotta ask, but maybe this will be a hard question for you, but which piece is your favorite? Which one are you like, oh, I love this one?
That's impossible to answer. It's like being asked to, you know, choose a favorite child. There are works that I was incredibly excited to see. We put them on our dream list request, mm-hmm. and never really anticipated them to approve all of our selections. I think I personally am was most excited to see the Vermeer Girl Interrupted at her music, which is the first of three Vermeers Frick buys. There are only 30-something Vermeers known in the world, and so to have one on view in Pittsburgh is really special for those of us, including myself, you know, who missed the big Vermeer exhibition at the Rijksmuseum last year. This is our opportunity to have a Vermeer in Pittsburgh.
And this is the first time in a while since a Vermeer's been in Pittsburgh.
It is the first time since 1940. Vermeer's Milkmaid was shown at the Carnegie Museum of Art in 1940, and so this is the first time in 80 years that we have the opportunity to see a Vermeer.
Yeah. So in most people's living memory.
Absolutely. This is really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, for sure, because I don't think the New York's going to let you have these pieces again.
I doubt it, although who knows? I mean, we're really building a new relationship here, so... But we will take full advantage of the opportunity while we have it.
And were there any pieces that you were kind of sad that you couldn't get because of the wear and tear of life on them?
I mean, I think the Holbein portrait of Thomas More, which is a real iconic one, such a powerful figure. There were certain things that, you know, we couldn't get. But I am really happy with the selection that we have.
Yeah, no, the selection is wonderful. I mean, you have the Millet selection. I mean, there's like 10 works of his, which are beautiful pieces. Mm-hmm. Just wonderful. And what's so interesting to me is that a lot of the pieces are portraits of English nobility. You have in your own house in Clayton pictures that aren't of your relatives. They're just random people.
No, I think wealthy American collectors, industrialists, the kind of newly rich, they were happy to buy those British portraitures because it gave a sense of nobility that we don't have here in America. So they could pretend they were of the landed gentry by having ancestry on the walls.
Well, that sounds so wonderful. This exhibit is open until July 14th, right?
Yes. So a few months to see it. We hope everyone takes us up on an opportunity to visit and visit as many times as you can and book your tickets early because we are expecting the galleries to be very full.
Yes, and their reservations online. Well, Dawn Breen, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.